Come on. The Bible says make a joyful noise unto the Lord. So you just gotta stir yourself up. Come on, get excited about the fact that you're saved and you're on your way to heaven. Come on now. The Redeemer lives on the inside of you. Praise God. Let's pray and I'll preach. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, for everything you're doing already today, Father. We thank you, Lord, for your word that opens up our eyes to the truth, Father, that you want us to know and live in. And so thank you today that we receive that truth and give you glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. You can go ahead and be seated. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Go with me to one familiar scripture that we all love, John 10:10. Come on, John 10:10. Here's what the King James says. The thief, everybody say the thief.
The thief.
Now here's what the thief comes to do. Everybody know who the thief is, right? That's Satan, that's Lucifer, that's Slewfoot, right? That's the devil. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Okay, that's that. I'll get into some other translations yet, but that's what the devil came to do. To steal, kill, and destroy. Now, you have to understand that anything that steals, kills, or destroys is coming from the thief. A lot of folks, when they're having problems and things are going on in their life, they'll say, well, I don't know what God's trying to teach me here, but it's not God. If it's stealing, if it's killing, if it's destroying, it's not from God. Amen. You've got to understand that. Now, I will go as far as to say this. Sometimes we do that to ourselves. Come on, but it's still not God. Come on now. But that's what the thief comes to do. Right? Is that what your Bible says? Then goes on, and this is Jesus speaking. He says, I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Notice that. Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Come on now. Now let me give you some translations here in New Living Testament. Now listen to this. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. We just discussed that, right? Okay. My purpose, Jesus says, is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Come on now. So that's a no-brainer. That's a duh, right? The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus' purpose is to give you a rich and satisfying life. Which do you want? Who do you want to be your master? Who do you want to be your Lord? The one that's going to steal, kill, and destroy you, or the one that came to give you a rich, satisfying life? Come on, church. You see, we forget sometimes that we're serving the Savior whose purpose in coming to this earth was to give us a rich and satisfying life.
Amen.
Amen. You see, I know this. Religion hates this. Religion hates it when we talk like this because religion wants you to say, oh, it's a hard old way, brother. We just got to hold on and hold out to the end. Come on now. You'll hear that preached a lot of times. See, what makes things hard is when you're trying to hold on to the world instead of trying to hold on to Jesus. When you believe what the world says versus believing what the Word says. Come on now. Jesus said, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Listen to the Message Bible. A thief is only there to steal and kill and destroy. Now listen. I came so they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. Now listen to that. I came that they can have real and eternal life. See, because religious folks will say what Jesus was talking about there was when we get to heaven, we're going to have an abundant life. But the Message brings it out a little bit better. And it says, He came so that we can have real life now. Real life now and then eternal life. Come on, see, when we start seeing this, it makes us look at things different. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But I want to just get across to you to help you to understand that God wants you living good life now. Come on. He wants you living a good life now. A rich and satisfying life now. Come on. That's what God wants. That's His will for you. Amen. It's His will for you to have a rich, satisfying life right now. Now, you have to understand that being a believer is more than just going to heaven. I mean, thank God that's that we want to be believers so we can go to heaven. Jesus was crucified on the cross, placed in the tomb, and rose again on the third day so that we could be saved and go to heaven. But you see, you've got to have more than one of these days it's going to be good. You know, we used to sing those songs, you know, in churches. That, you know, it'll be worth it after all, child. It'll be worth it after all. After all of these troubles, we'll hear Jesus call. Well, see, that's all talking. That's talking about later. What about now? It's more than just going to heaven, folks. Being a believer is enjoying the life we have now. Enjoying your Christianity now. Enjoying your life with Jesus now. Come on, somebody. I don't care what the world thinks. I don't care what religion thinks. Because they'll say, oh, you're just trying to hype things. You better believe I'm trying to hype things up. I want you to understand what you got when you made Jesus Christ your Lord. You got more than just saved from hell. You got salvation. Salvation means fullness, wholeness, health, wellness, prosperity. Everything that God has, you have. Through salvation, through His death, burial, and resurrection. Come on. It's more than just getting to go to heaven. It's getting to go to heaven plus enjoying your life now. Amen. That excites me to think about. I can have the live life now. Enjoy my life now. Don't just be living on barely getting along street. Come on, you need to realize that God has made you a king and a priest unto Him. You are a son and a daughter unto Him. Anybody think that Jesus isn't living a good life? Right? Does God give bad life or He give good life? Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of life, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So everything good comes from God. And God's got a bunch of good stuff. Come on. Everything God has is good. And it belongs to you because you're now in the family. Come on. Everything Daddy has belongs to you. Come on, and don't be afraid to call Him Daddy, because you need to have that relationship with Him, because He is your Heavenly Father. But you see, when you put it, I never did call my Daddy Father. Come on, I called Him Dad or Daddy. Come on. Well, you see, we ought to have a better relationship with God than we have with our own natural fathers and mothers. Come on, Daddy, my Daddy, I loved Him, but He couldn't get me to heaven. And He had nothing to offer me to get me to heaven. Come on, you got to get a hold of this. But my Daddy in heaven, He had something to offer to get me to heaven. And my Daddy in heaven offered up His only begotten Son and allowed Him to be crucified on the cross here on this earth and shed His blood here on this earth, so that I could not only be saved, but by His stripes I could be healed. Hallelujah. That's the Daddy I serve. That's the God I serve. And I'm not ashamed to call Him my Heavenly Father. I'm not ashamed to call Him my Daddy. I don't think it's sacrilegious to call Him Daddy, because I have relationship with Him. When I ain't got nobody else, I got Him. Now, I thank God for my wife, and she's my best friend, and we're one according to the Word of God. But I have a closer relationship with Him than I do her. because she can't get me to heaven either. And I can't get her to heaven. And she's got a closer relationship with Daddy God than she does me. That's not to say we don't have a very close relationship. But I want you to understand that it's God first. And if we could ever get our country to understand that it's God first, we might get something straightened out around here. But no, whether the country realizes it or not, I'm going to realize it. And I want you to realize it. He came, His purpose was so that you could have a rich, satisfying life. To give you life and life more abundantly. Amplified says, live it to the full till it overflows. That's the life God wants you and I to have. Living it to the full till it overflows. Amen. That's the kind of life I want to live, don't you? Come on now. Mark chapter 10, verse 29. Listen to this. Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time. Houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the world to come eternal life. Notice that. You see, Jesus made a distinction here. He said, listen, if you've given up some stuff for my sake and the gospel's, in this life right here, I'm going to make sure you get it back 100-fold. Come on, you know, some of us, you know, are black sheep in our family. Most likely, if you're coming to church here, you may be a black sheep in your family. There's a good chance of it, you know, because you go up out of that church. You know, you go up to that church. You mean you go up to that church? That's a cult. Didn't you know that was a cult up there? Come on now. You know all the things that have been said. And it's been said by people that want to come, but they're so paralyzed by peer pressure and not wanting their family to black sheep them that they won't come. Come on now. We've been talked about a few times. See how long we've been here now? 26 years? Coming on 27? We've just been talked about 27 years. That's all. They've talked about it, but that's okay. Yeah, it's okay. Why? Because Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. Why did they persecute Jesus? Because he was doing good. So let them talk. As long as God's doing good in this house, let them talk. I don't care. The Bible says it's all right if they're talking about you when they're wrong. It's just a bad thing when they're talking about you and they're right. Come on now. People are going to talk about you. This life that we're living, because we're living it by faith, and we'll talk about that a little bit more. But understand this. If you're going to live your life by the Word of God and do what God says, you're going to be persecuted. Now, you can get right in with status quo, and you do what the world's doing and not go against the grain. You can get into religion and just be religious. Nobody won't talk about you. Because you see, now you're flowing the way the enemy wants you to flow. Come on. You start getting over into the Spirit and let the Holy Ghost start doing some things. You start getting over in the Word and you know, watching folks who's having a stroke walk up the aisle, and by the time they get up here, they're healed. Come on now. When you start seeing folks that they're telling you you've had a heart attack and you don't know you've had a heart attack, and they say you've had 5 blockages and put 5 stents in, and you never did know before and never did know after the difference. See, you got to understand that's strange to religious folk, but it's just normal for those that know the Spirit of God. When you have people that get a death sentence really to them with cancer, right here. We got it right here. Amen. I was there, and I heard the doctor tell Debbie, I just started to sew him back up. I just started to sew him back up. But I promised him I would do everything I could do. He didn't know that it wasn't just him doing it. Now, God did use the doctor. He used him for me. He used him for Rick. But you know what? It was God that was the great physician. Hallelujah. He's cancer free. I feel like a new man. Everybody keeps saying, how you doing? I'm doing good. How you doing? Come on. You see, I trust the Lord, don't you? And I'm going to live this life. I'm going to live it to the full till it overflows. And I want you to too. See, he says that if you're giving things up, and a lot of you have, that's where I was going to a minute ago. I mean, people have turned their backs on you. I meet people, I still meet people, or see people. I don't meet them because when they see me in Walmart, they'll turn and go another way. People that I know, some of them used to be friends. Isn't that something? We're still brothers and sisters in the Lord. I just don't go to the same church, but they'll turn and go the other way. Because after all, I'm that crazy preacher. But that's all right. I'd rather be crazy for the Word and crazy for Jesus and crazy for what God's doing than to be crazy for religion and popularity and popular opinion. Jesus said that if you have left something for Him or the gospel's sake, that in this time now, not when you get to heaven, in this time now, it'll be returned to you 100-fold. See, some of you need to be thinking about, what is it all that happened? I want that back. I want 100-fold. Come on now. He said, and then the life to come, eternal life. Eternal life, I mean, we can't even describe how great that's going to be. But he's telling you right now, I can have my good life here. Now, good life here don't compare to what life's going to be like when we get to heaven. But, you know, why in the world go through misery and agony and all that here on this earth when he says we don't have to? Think about it for a minute now. And I know that's, again, this goes against religion and it goes against what people think, you know. He said in this life, you're going to have some persecutions. You know, and the truth is, as long as we live on this earth, there's going to be, and we're going to face oppositions. Just because you're a born-again child of God, and just because Jesus gave us this abundant life, doesn't mean there's not a real devil that's operating against us. Matter of fact, he hates you and he wants to steal, kill, and destroy you. Amen. But now listen to what Jesus says here. John 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Notice you can have peace in the Lord. Man, there ain't nothing like the peace of God. I can testify, as of late, there ain't nothing like the peace of God. When you don't know what's going on, you don't know what people got. I mean, you know, you don't have a clue about nothing, you know. You're sitting there in the hospital, they're saying, we're going to get you ready for surgery. And you're saying, what? What? Surgery? What for? There ain't nothing like having the peace of God. Amen. When you're in a place you don't want to be, don't know nothing about who's going to be doing surgery on you, don't know nothing about any of it, there ain't nothing like being able to say, God, you got this. That's the peace of God. Amen. That's the peace of God. See, when you really know that He's your Savior, He's your Lord, He's your healer, He's the great physician, He's got you, then you can have peace that the world can't understand. Amen. People get tore up, they get upset about things. And if we'll just look and see the peace of God, the peace of God that's in me, that I know no matter what, God's got it. He's got me because I got Him. I ain't letting go. Come on, I'll be like Jacob. I ain't letting you go till you bless me. Come on. Yeah. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Jacob came out of that thing with a limp. Right? He probably limped the rest of his life, but the whole time he was limping, he knew God had him. Because he got that blessing. Got his name changed, right? He went from Jacob to Israel. Hallelujah. You see, and so I've decided, all right, I've made up my mind, I ain't letting go of Him, are you? And so if I'm going to hold on to Him, then I'm going to live the life He said I can have. I may get persecuted for it, but that's all right. I'd rather have somebody talking about me living a good life than me living a bad life and them talking about me. Because they go and talk about you either way. Right? If you're poor, they're going to talk about you. If you're rich, they're going to talk about you. If you're happy, they're going to talk about you. If you're always sad and depressed, they're going to talk about you. Right? So I'd rather be happy, blessed, prosperous, and let them talk about me, and I'll just go ahead and live my good life and let them do what they want to. They can live the life they want to, but I have decided that since Jesus' purpose is to give it to me, I'm going to take it. Amen. You need to make up your mind. I'm going to take it. And see, that's why it is so important for us to live this life of faith. Come on now. You see, because without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So now I'm going to live this life of faith. Now here's the thing. Living the life of faith doesn't necessarily always keep things from coming at us. Okay? Just because we're living the life of faith. But here's what it does. It gives us the power to overcome whatever it is. No matter what comes at us, we can use our faith to defeat what's coming at us. Remember? And taking the shield of faith, which is able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Come on. How many? All. No exception there. Either that or the Word of God's a lie, and the Word of God is not a lie. So we decided, I'm going to live my life a life of faith, and living my life a life of faith means that I believe. Come on. It means that I'm going to confess. It means that I'm going to act. And also it means this, I'm going to have an attitude of faith. Because attitude is one of the things that causes your faith to explode. See, because I can have an attitude of faith and I can see myself doing things that I couldn't see myself normally do. Come on, you've got to get there. You've got to understand. When you have an attitude of faith, it means that my thinking is always the way God thinks and what the Word says. That's my attitude. If God says it, it's settled. It's a done deal. Come on now. See, because you can say I'm a faith person, but if your attitude is like, oh, Eeyore, right? Oh, well, I guess it wasn't for me. Ain't nothing going to happen. But when you realize, yes, I can. Right? The little engine that could. I think I can. I think I can. I thought I could. I thought I could after he had done it. Come on now. So you got to keep that attitude. Yes, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph. It's what the Word of God says. See, we've got to have this attitude that God has made us triumph. He's already given us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. So our attitude has to be one that I'm already the victor. I'm not trying to get my healing. I'm already healed. Come on, so you've got to understand that. I'm not trying to get the victory. I already have the victory. Amen. I'm not trying to get prosperity. He's already become poor so that I could become rich. See, so I'm changing where I'm fighting from because now my attitude is I'm one of the winner. Come on, I'm above only and not beneath. I'm the head and not the tail. God is opening up His good treasures according to His Word and pouring them out to me. Come on, church. You see, when you begin to see yourself that way, you don't see yourself as a loser. You don't see yourself as lacking anymore. Yeah, but now, you know, Pastor, I just ain't there yet. Well, just keep that attitude and you're going to get there. Come on, listen, there ain't none of us got to the place we want to be yet, but we're on our way. Paul said, it's not like I've already attained, but I keep pressing toward the mark. Come on now. He said, because I want to get a hold of what's got a hold of me. Don't you want to get a hold of what's got a hold of you? I mean, I want to get a hold of everything that God has. I want to walk in it. I want to relish in it. I want to know that I'm basking in the glory of God and His glory has me covered. Hallelujah. You see, and so when we live in this life of faith, it's more than just saying I'm a faith person and I believe the Word. It's acting on it and having that attitude, it shall come to pass. Come on, that little woman when her son had already died, and she went to her husband to get somebody to take her to the man of God, when her husband said, is it well with you? It's well. Is it well with you, son? It shall be well. Come on now. She didn't have that negative attitude. Well, he's dead right now. Right? Come on. Well, I'm kind of in bad shape right now, honey. Our son just died, but I'm going to go to the man of God. He's dead, and I'm going to go see what can happen. I don't know if God will do anything. I mean, that wasn't her attitude. Her attitude is, it shall be well. And she's on the rider. He gets on with the rider, and she tells the rider, don't you even let up until I tell you. I'm going to the man of God. I'm going to God. See, because the man of God represented God. I'm going to God fast as I can go. And he's coming. She's coming. Man of God looks and says, that looks like that little woman. That's the woman that built me a room on her. Go see what's going on. See if everything's all right. And he sends his servant. And he goes out there and he says, is it well with you? It's well. Is it well with your husband? It's well. Is it well with your son? It's well. And she never did let up. Went straight to the man of God and fell and wrapped her heart, got a hold of him. And the man of God looks down and said, something's going on. She's just not saying. And she said, didn't you promise me a son? He said, I promised you a son. Well, I need you to come back because he's back at the house dead, but he shall be well. Come on now. And the man of God goes back and guess what? It is well. He raises him back to life. Why? Because she had the promise from God. You're going to have the son. And she didn't let... Now see, here's where a lot of people lose it. Just because there was a kink in the plan, the boy died, it didn't mean that the plan wasn't supposed to be that way all the time. There was an opposition there, but she refused to let the promise of God drop because of what she saw. Because she believed what she heard. What was said. I believe what's been said. So no matter what little bumps in the road, the Word's the truth. God cannot lie. So when He says He wants me to have abundant life, I'm going to have abundant life. So when He says, by His stripes you were healed, by His stripes I was healed. When He says that God made me to have prosperity, then I'm going to have prosperity. It's up to you whether you want it or not, but I have decided to believe God. And live this life out. Amen. So we have to look at these things and understand this is the life God wants us to live. He wants us to live this life of faith. Now again, things are going to happen. The Bible teaches us that God makes it to rain on the just and the unjust. And that the sun shines on the just and the unjust. Right? Come on now. But you see, the attitude of faith is, you know, no matter whether it's raining or where it's not, I'm still going to praise God. Whether the sun's shining or whether it's not, I'm still going to praise God. And I'm always going to have the attitude that I'm a child of God. You know, the Bible says that we're supposed to be do good to our enemies and we're supposed to bless them and not curse them. And, you know, and so He says, so that you can be the children of your Father. You see, that's a different attitude than the world had. Do you understand that the world right now is trying to get us to hate everybody? Everything is hate. If you don't believe the way I believe, I hate you. If you ain't the same politics I am, I hate you. Come on now. You see, I mean, if you don't believe these things, I hate you. But you see, that's not the attitude of a child of God. The attitude of a child of God is I love everybody. I might not like your ways, but I still love everybody. Come on now. And so when we start searching out in the Word of God, we'll find out the Bible says that we're going to reap what we sow. Come on. God's not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh will reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit will reap the Spirit. Come on. You see, so it's all about how we're sowing things. And you know, the Bible goes on and says, as much as possible, as much as we're able, we're to do good to all men. As much as it is within us, do good to all men. Amen. Then it goes on and says, especially to those of the household of faith. Now, I want to just say this. There's some folks that you can't do good to. I'm sorry, but there's just some folks that you just can't help. And that's where the Bible talks about don't cast your pearls before the swine, because they'll just turn around and rend you. But you do the best you can to be good to everybody. And if it's somebody that don't want you to be good to them and you can't be good to, then you can't spend your time there. Come on. Yes, you pray for them. You can keep praying for them. But you don't have to, you know, put your head on a chopping block for them. Come on, you pray for them, do everything you can, and then move on and help somebody that you can help. See, that's part of living the good life. God wants you to live this good life so that you can be a blessing. Not just blessed, but a blessing. Come on now. What's that mean, a blessing? That means, you know, God will supply things to you so you can supply things to somebody else. Come on now. See, because I'm sowing good. I'm sowing out of myself. And guess what I'm going to reap? Good and back to myself. Right? If I'm sowing out good, then I'm going to get back good. Again, it's about that attitude. Amen. The Bible tells us that out of our mouth, or out of our heart, or the abundance of our heart, our mouth is going to speak. Okay? So what that's saying is this. Whatever your attitude is, it's going to come out of your mouth. If I have an attitude of faith, it's going to come out of my mouth. If I have an attitude that I'm a child of God and I'm going to be an example of a believer, that's what's going to come out of my mouth. But if I have an attitude of evil, attitude of hate, attitude of hatefulness, come on now, that's what will come out of your mouth. And that's not what God doesn't want us to be, examples of the world, right? He wants us to be examples of believers. A person that's walking by faith. A person that believes the Word of God is true and that God wants nothing but good for them. Come on. We should never have that attitude that, well, God must not want me to have it, because He wants you to have it. Look at your neighbor and say, He wants you really to have it. You see, but we got to make up our mind. I want it. I want it. I want it. And it's up to you. Now, you can stay solid on the rock, or you can be like the world. Jesus tells another parable. He says, He that heareth these sayings of mine and does them, He said, I'm going to liken him to a man that digged the foundation and built his house on a rock. And the flood rose, and the stream beat vehemently upon the house, and it stood. But he that heareth my words and doeth them not, he's like a man that built his house upon the sand. Same flood, same stream, and it destroyed the house. You see, when we're founded on the rock, when we're founded on faith, when we're founded on the Word, understand this. It didn't stop the flood from coming. It did not stop the stream from beating against the house. But when the storm passed, the house was still standing. And you see, that's it. We want to make sure that we're still standing no matter what the enemy throws at us, no matter what the world tries to throw at us. We still need to be standing as a beacon of people that believe in God, believe that His Son Jesus died for our sins, and believe that the Word of God is still the truth no matter what anybody else thinks. And as long as we're doing that, church, as long as we're living that life, we're living a life that God wants us to live. but it's your choice. You can choose life or you can choose death. You can choose blessing, you can choose cursing. Today I encourage you, let's choose the abundant life God said we can have. Amen? Come on, stand to your feet with me. Father, help us to decide to choose life. Father, help us to see the great and abundant life that you've given us, Father. And we understand and know, Father, you said in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world, and so because you've overcome, so can we. And we just ask you now, Father, help us to always keep that attitude that we cannot fail because we have you on our side. Father, I pray if there's one here today that needs you as their Savior, that today's the day they say, I'm going to give my life to Jesus. I pray if there's one here today that needs to rededicate their life back to you, they'll say, today is the day that I'm rededicating my life to the Lord and I'm not turning back again. Father, you know every heart. You deal with the hearts. And we'll give you the glory. Thank you for that in Jesus' name.